Welcome back to Bonded by Bravo. I am your host, Amy, joined with my co-host.
I hate when I say Jenna here, but we're gonna go with it. No, okay, this is gonna work.
Hey, how Jenna. Are you? I'm great.
Yeah.
Look like a thriver. I'm thriving. I'm medicated. Yeah. Had shoulder surgery on Tuesday.
Fucking.
And I don't have makeup on. I put some lip gloss on, and I made Meek put earrings in my ears. So I've worn this sweatshirt since Tuesday. I can't shower until tomorrow.
How did you get your hair up?
Oh, I put it up on Monday night. No, Tuesday morning. Yeah.
What day are we at? Thursday?
It's disgusting. He's going to have to wash it. And I was like, well, these glasses make me look cuter.
I think you'll agree. No.
All right. It just is what it is.
Here we are.
And I don't know. Have you ever had general anesthesia and then had to try to go to the bathroom? Like, talk about constipation.
I remember this when I had my knee injury, that the constipation was bad. And I think actually my cousins gave me some of my uncle's, like, laxatives from when he had cancer, so they were it was the good stuff. That was gross, but anesthesia fucked me up though. I was so nauseous, like they ended up almost having to keep me an extra night because I could not. It was just really brutal.
That's what she gave me. Alcohol. The nurses were so nice. She gave me alcohol pads to sniff in the cab ride home because I also. That helps with nausea if you're feeling nauseous and going to puke. So she's like, just sniff these alcohol pads. So I'm like, literally, like, sniff. What a crackhead.
I didn't know that. As someone who gets nauseous all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, that's
good to know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's been, luckily, it's been like pouring rain here in New York. So, like, I don't feel like I'm like missing, you know, how like you can get.
Yeah.
It's
like when it's nice out and you're sick and you're like, this is not it. Yeah. Well, I know you're in a little bit of pain, so we could just jump right into some stuff.
Yeah.
Make sure that we keep this moving along so you can go lay down.
What's up? What have you been up to? What's going on?
I don't think anything. Someone asked me this the other day that I hadn't seen in a while, and I was like, nothing. Like, they were like, what's new? I'm like, nothing. Like,
okay.
I don't know.
I forgot to tell you that Kyle, your Kyle, does he tell you what he keeps sending me on Instagram?
He said that he did mention that. He's like, yeah, I send her memes and stuff, or like something on Instagram.
No, he keeps sending me like
houses.
No, like secret things to do in New York City.
Oh my God, he sends them to me nonstop.
And they're like things that I don't know about in New York City. And I was like, this is great. And then I'm sending them to my friends in New York City.
Oh my God, I love this.
It's so great.
The flea market one, I really want to check out.
On the West Side?
I don't know. He sent me a whole list of flea markets.
He's been doing the same with me. It's so precious. But with no words or context, just the... It's such like a man thing to do. Like, here you go.
Yeah.
Here you
go. That's great. Love that.
Anywho.
Yeah. Anywho.
What's going on?
I don't know if our listeners will care so much about this, and we texted briefly about it. But for any other armchair listeners out there, if we could go ahead and get some theories up on Reddit or in the comments about who we think Monica is dating.
Also,
because she's dating someone for sure. And I think he lives in New York, maybe. I don't know.
Oh my God, she did say she was going back to New York.
But then also when she said it, Dax was like, well, yeah, of course. And it's like, well, why of course? Is it of course because it's New York? And
they said Easter egg, which means they're going to talk about it soon. I hope they don't talk about it on Synced. But that means I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed that episode with Rebel Wilson.
Same. And the reaction online was similar. Like, I went on to Reddit and everyone was like, oh, this was a really good listen. And like, now we like her. That's the thing I do love about his podcast, or I shouldn't say his, their podcast. is that there's some people that like I wouldn't really think much about, and then I listen to it and I'm all like, oh, wait, am I the biggest fan?
Yeah, same.
You know?
And like, I always liked Rebel Wilson. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was just like in movies sometimes, yeah. And I liked those movies.
And I remember Fat Amy came out, her character, and Pitch Perfect, and I was like, this is great.
Oh my God.
This is made for, and hearing her story about how she, I love hearing actors and their stories on how they got famous. It was a really good listen. Sure. I enjoyed that a lot.
I just wanted to just ask our listeners if they could give me.
I wanted to talk to you about, I was telling you that I have watched One Day on Netflix. Yeah. And I know that I'm like a few weeks late on this, but am I a creep by like Leo Woodall from
White Lotus?
Thank you. There might be a lot of this today.
Okay, we got this.
Is so insanely attractive. Like, oh my God. And I'm wondering, is it me? Like, do I just have a thing for younger men?
He does look really boyish.
Yeah, but like cute.
Yeah. I mean, he's certainly not unattractive. I do think he's hot. I don't know if I am like, maybe I haven't watched that show yet. I turned it on, fell asleep, and that was the end of that.
I know people are like, oh my God, it's so good. It was like, fine. It's one of those things where you're like, all right, the ending like to me was kind of cheesy. You end up crying, but you're like, this is cheesy as all hell. It was fine.
Well, you got some time over there.
I really do. If you have other recommendations, I don't do competitions.
I know. Normally I don't, but the other day there's a chef from like the restaurant around the corner, and I've been there a few times. And so like, because I would see him all the time, like there or just like in the neighborhood, I was like, let me pop this on. I kind of really like it.
Actually, that reminds me, when you're here, that's whose restaurant you should go to. Kwame from Top Chef on the West Side. When you're here, I've heard great things about it. It's actually on my list of follows. And speaking of shows that I started to watch, I started watching Vanderpump Villa.
Okay. Same. It's not, to me, it feels fake. So produced. Like The Hills meets Vanderpump, or not even really Vanderpump Rules anymore, but it felt very like Adam DeVello, you know, who does like all of like The Hills and The Sunsets. And like, that's fine, except that when Adam DeVello does it, and like for anyone who doesn't know who that is, he did The Hills, he did Laguna Beach, he does like the Selling Sunsets and stuff. He packages, like, we know that it's produced. Yeah. It's not this facade that it's reality.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like with Vanderpump Villas, they're trying to package it in this like this reality situation, and it's like, this is not like, look at these characters you have here. You mean to tell me that they were selected by their resumes?
It was the other thing. I don't. Okay. So what? Lisa Vanderpump's style is so not for me. I saw it again when we saw a little peek of Wolf in Lake Tahoe. This like weird chandelier thing. I saw it in Tom Tom. It's just not for me. And then what are these uniforms she has them wearing that has their logos on them?
I don't know.
Why is my face like this? Oh my God.
I noticed it. At Pump and Sir, it's like first of all, they're definitely, it's like not a timeless look. That's for damn sure. But fine, that's probably not what she's going for. But the other thing about this like decor is that it ages very quickly. Where like those chairs and stuff, like in 2 years, they're gonna have to either replace them or they're gonna be dingy. Like I remember I went to Pump and I was like, this is dirty.
It's gonna, I don't like the aesthetics that she goes for. And this villa, like even the characters, I can't get down with any of them. I don't know. It wasn't doing it for me.
No, I actually totally tuned out and like found something else to do. Like it was on in the background. I think I started cooking and normally I'll like turn it up and like I can turn the TV a little bit towards me. I was like, for what?
But do you know what I have gotten into in the last few days that I am into? And I said this before, but like I'm fully in now. Okay. Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Totally worth it.
Okay.
Worth it.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's like the perfect amount of drama. It's really good.
Okay, I'm gonna watch. It's on my list now.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I feel like I've been saying that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, should we just get into Bravo? Or there was one other thing I kind of wanted to point out about. Okay, so Kim Kardashian's like Skims campaigns.
Okay.
I'm like, how close are we going to get to the fire without touching the fire?
And when you say the fire, you mean?
I mean Taylor Swift. Yeah. It's like we're getting, it's like we're using, and it's like, I don't think, you know, obviously Kim Kardashian needs Taylor's fame for any kind of boost, but it's like Ice Spice, the Mahomes, now Sabrina Carpenter right after the Taylor Swift tour. And she was, it's just like feeling a little too, I don't know. It's like, if you just want to fucking hire her, just hire her. Like,
wouldn't that just be so iconic?
And I don't think Taylor ever would, but it just feels like I would love to know. And I don't actually think Taylor gives a shit. I'm sure she's like, get your money, like get your coins. Yeah. But I do think it makes Kim look bad. Like I was telling Kyle about this earlier. He's like, and he was like, see, I've just been waiting for years for you to come around on this whole Kim thing. I was like, what? He was like, I knew you would eventually turn on her. Like he's just been like waiting on the sidelines.
Oh my God, I'm shocked.
I was like, I'm not turning.
I can't even believe I just had this conversation with Kyle, number one.
I know.
Poor
he
Kyle.
Doesn't care about it. I know. He just like scrolling his phone, looking at coin stuff, whatever, Bitcoin stuff.
No, sending me secret New York City escapes.
I was doing it as I was talking to him.
I just love the idea that she would come out one day and be like, bam, Taylor Swift. Since we're talking about this.
That's good for Taylor, though.
Why?
I don't know.
Separate church and state? Like, what do you mean?
I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I don't have like an actual response to your question.
Okay. Well, the other thing that happened big this week, which you know, you stan Taylor, I stan Beyonce. Her album came out, her country album. Have you given it a casual listen?
I have, actually.
Okay.
I told you I'm on a country journey right now.
Yeah, but you've that's never weird. Been on a Beyonce journey.
I know, but
okay.
Country.
Okay. I mean, I also, okay, I'm going to be honest. I would say, is it country?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I love how she has incorporated so many up and coming Black country artists to that's get sick. Them on her album. And it was fun to listen to.
Yeah.
It was a lot
the
of fun.
The memes about Jolene have been great. they're like, wow, I kind of really want to see this play out.
and Miley on the album, that song's really good. Yeah.
Miley's so talented.
She's underrated, man. I'm gonna say something. When I was growing up, oh my God. This is the meds talking. 20 years ago when Miley Cyrus was in Hannah, Montana, my friend had a daughter and I would use her daughter to like be like, oh, do you want to go see the Hannah Montana movie? You really love Hannah Montana. And we went to go see the Hannah Montana movie and I sat there and was like, this girl is so good. I loved that song, The Climb, and was like, she's really good. And her voice is underrated. Mm-hmm. Her talent's underrated. It's been good to see what's up and coming for her.
Yeah, like her whole evolution has been fun to watch.
Why are you in such a good mood? I can't stop staring at how good of a mood you're in.
Oh, really? I did have a hot yoga sculpt class today, and I feel like after those, I always feel
You're just like good. Smiling so much.
Oh, it's, well, did I take a GABA today? No, I didn't. I didn't, actually. It's the yoga. It's a hot yoga sculpt.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not, it's just, yeah.
The endorphins, they're flying.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's get into Brado.
You some more?
No, absolutely fucking not. Let's get into Bravo. So,
okay,
Summer House. I rewatched Summer House.
Oh, good.
I'm gonna be carrying this episode.
We need to. Yeah, that's good because I need to rewatch them every week. Yes, because yes. Not only that, Vanderpump, I watched the night I had surgery, so it's gonna be like all fresh when we start talking about it.
There's so much outside of the show with Vanderpump to talk about, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we'll get to the actual fucking episode. Yeah. Excuse my language. Whoops. Sorry, Mom. So Kyle. So yeah, Summer House, where Kyle, basically, I would say the first big scene is they're sitting around for dinner. Kyle brings up the Jesse flirting thing. Amanda storms off or whatever. And like, it was such a... It's so funny because this is something that Craig would 100% do on Southern Charm, but Craig does it a little bit more seamlessly. Like he,
yeah.
Kyle's was so,
that's so kind interesting. Of like what abrupt. A good point.
Yeah. Whereas like when Craig does it, you're ready for it. You're excited about it. You're like mad at him, but in the right way. And then Kyle does it and you're like, this is kind of weird.
That was as soon as Kyle said it, I was sitting there going, Amanda's going to kill him. Amanda's going to kill him. Because he didn't say it. Like, I think he thought he was funny.
That's, I think, the point that Amanda was trying to kind of convey. Yeah. Like, I'm annoyed that you said did this, but like, the most annoying part is that you thought it was funny and like, right. No one is laughing.
Because it wasn't in like a moment where like it came out naturally or where right. Craig totally would have said this and it would have been funny. I also want to take back how last week I said how you're like, Craig is looking good. And I was like, really? Craig in that gas station man outfit?
Whoo.
What? Got a tingle in my Pringle. FYI, I got a tingle in my Pringle because also for all of those people out there, you're not allowed to say horny on TikTok. They took down our video of me saying Kristen Cavallari's boyfriend made me horny like 4 different times on our TikTok. But you can say tingle in your Pringle? No horny?
Yeah, it's horny. Like a weird word.
Horny?
It like does the...
But like you can talk about murder and you can talk about sexual assault and you can talk about P. Diddy and everything else on TikTok, but you can't stay horny.
I don't know.
Anyhow.
Weird. And but Craig,
and that little outfit gave me...
I don't even know if I caught that you didn't think that last week because I just couldn't... I don't even understand a world where someone didn't think he was attractive in that outfit.
Well, I don't think we got to the outfit in the episode before.
You're right. We didn't. You were,
no. But him with the, in the rolled up sleeves and the, I was like, I don't think I've ever thought a mechanic was hot, but gosh, damn.
Goddamn is right.
Goddamn.
Him and Paige together just look so good. But going back to that comment, even when he says to like, Kyle's kind of talking to Jesse about it after like Amanda storms off and everyone sort of leaves the table. And I actually really liked how Jesse handled it. He wasn't like, yeah, man, like Amanda should be, or like Amanda's being dramatic or whatever. He was kind of like, man, it was a little weird.
Yeah. You're kind of a douche. It didn't come up naturally. You kind of just,
It wasn't it. I was glad that he didn't just like, go along with it for the sake of going along with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. These new guys, they are cool to stick up for themselves, even against, like, Kyle, I'm sorry, but he's aging himself. Like, you're looking like the 40-year-old loser who's getting drunk at the parties and still trying to play the frat boy. And I almost feel like Amanda's seeing that in him, too.
There was something else Amanda had said, and I guess we could probably even... just get into it. But I do want to just real quick touch on how Jesse and Wes, how you just said, like, the way that these guys are really given. You know what's really nice about that is, like, you can sort of start to see what the future of the show could possibly look like.
Yeah.
Remember last season, we were like, what's going to happen? Yeah. Like, this is, it was, it's a total running dry. Flop. Yeah. It's running dry. Just the dynamics were changing. They were evolving and getting older, which, like, I don't, you know, blame them for that. That's great. Like, yeah, as you should. But I feel like having these two guys come in so seamlessly and actually kind of bring the show back. So yeah, just, like, it feels like they've really revived it, and that now everyone else, like, yeah, they're cast members we care about, but I feel like these two people could carry us into the next season and to whatever the future is.
They're the new additions that we've needed.
Yes.
And if we, like, they really are the new additions we've needed. There was this scene. Oh gosh, I might be jumping ahead.
That's fine, because this was like a good episode. There wasn't anything that I feel
so the week before you were like, I feel like Sierra might be holding back because of everything that happened with Austin. Mm-hmm. And then they show the scene with Sierra in the car with Craig, right? Mm-hmm. Going to get alcohol. And she mm-hmm. broke down a little. And mm-hmm. that I just wanted to say, like, I yelled at the screen and said, Sierra, like, you don't look like the dumb idiot from the other year when yeah. Austin was being a dick. Austin looks like the dumb idiot. Mm-hmm. He looks like the jerk off that was being a jerk off to you. Like, you mm-hmm. don't look like the fool here. I'm sure yeah. on national TV, when your love life's being played out and the person you fall for makes you feel like a fool, you feel differently. But, like, I just wanted to say, like, to see her vulnerable in that moment, it mm-hmm. just made me be like, see Austin, you know, and hope that Wes yeah. doesn't do the same thing.
Totally. I just don't think he will. And it's like, we already had enough information about Austin to know that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. This.
It was just more confirmation.
Yeah.
So there is a conversation between Lindsay and Kyle at this bar, this loud bar in Santa hats. And they go off to the side, and Kyle basically says to her, I think Carl is ignoring all of your red flags for the sake of getting married. And I was like, oh.
And she's like, wait, what? What do you mean? Ignoring my red flags? I don't have any red flags. I'm ignoring his red flags. What are you talking about, Kyle? That's what she says to him. Like, I'm the one ignoring his red flags. That's what she says. Oh,
I do got to give it to her in just her specific, like, I wouldn't give this credit to anyone else because it's truly the bare minimum. But Lindsay, normally in this circumstance, would have lashed out. The fact that she was not screaming in this bar, setting it on fire, was crazy to me. I was like, oh, wow.
But do you know why she's doing that?
Because she has to, like, play, I don't know why.
I mean, I feel like she's doing it because she wants to get married so badly that it doesn't matter. Like, she'll brush the things under the rug.
Basically what Kyle is saying Carl's doing. So it's like two people who are ignoring red flags for the sake of marriage, which that is just a tale within itself that I don't feel like getting into here.
It's so good that they didn't get married.
I wonder how many people ignore red flags for the sake of marriage.
Well, if you think about it, think about how many friends that you know that got married that ignored red flags. You don't have to name names on this, but
yeah.
I know plenty of weddings I've been to where there were red flags and we're just all clapping up and drinking the free champagne. Yeah, this is my drugs talking. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Okay.
Oh, well. <It's okay. laughs> But I've been to plenty, even especially like in my 20s when you're going to these weddings and you're like, okay, guys.
I'm not a guy, so I don't know what the headspace is from your 20s to now. But as a female, I know that we evolved so much from our early 20s to, like, I'm in my nearly mid 30s, and it's like it's not that I wouldn't recognize the person I was in my early 20s, but there's no way that person, if I saw that if that person came to me and said, I'm getting married, no, you're not.
No,
100% you're not getting married.
No. And I think, yeah. And That's
there's still so much to learn.
So much about yourself. And to marry someone. Yeah. Yeah. This is why I'm glad Paige and Craig are waiting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. People seem to have, speaking of Paige and Craig, people have to seem have a lot of opinions about
what we said.
Yeah, or not necessarily what we said, but about their marriage, or not their marriage, like the money conversation, which I found interesting. I've been reading some of the comments, and I feel like she's totally right in what she's saying.
Of course. People are
like, Craig's going to get overwaiting for her, and like his patience is going to run out. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's tough the case, that's, yeah, I get like.
No man is, if they're the strong, if they're the right man for you, they're going to, no one's going to get overweighting anything.
Yeah.
It's just
that's,
like.
That's how I feel too.
And I think it's also people, there's still these old school mentalities around marriage and waiting and this and that. And
yeah,
if I think me and you both are strong, independent women. Yeah. And I think Paige is also cut from that same cloth of like
totally
independence. Want, they don't need a man telling them, I don't want anyone holding anything above my head.
Yeah.
So I think that's where she's coming from.
Yeah.
I appreciate that about her because it's probably, to me, Paige has probably been lucky enough to been in relationships with wealthy men who would be able to provide for her.
Yeah.
I have never had that opportunity where it's been like, oh, there's all these like rich guys throwing themselves at me. Unfortunately, I've
it's
never.
So funny. Same. Like it's when people just like find rich men, I'm like, where and how?
I want to know.
Like, I guess the dive bars I'm hanging out at are just not facilitating that.
I know. I guess it's not the type that I attract.
Yeah, same.
Mm.
But who do you think she was talking about when she was telling that story? It was Perry?
I mean, allegedly, I would think that's who she was talking about. But if you listen to Paige. Oh, but I think also if you listen to Paige on Giggly Squad, she's very open about like she hasn't been in like the healthiest relationships.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With okay. with people around that stuff. But I mean, and even if you watch Summer House back, she talks about how he wanted to move in with her. He would gift her these expensive gifts. But that's just my theory, allegedly.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk shit on our favorite gal because
I know
I think it's great what she's doing and support.
Speaking
women.
Of cut yeah. from the same cloth though.
Uh-oh, God.
Tell me when they were not in bed and she was Amanda, Kyle, and Amanda, Paige, and Craig. And they're talking about Lindsay a little bit and Amanda's like, I think she like Lindsay throws low blows when they're fighting and Paige goes, yeah, I can kind of get the throwing low blows and Craig goes, can you, Paige? Kenya and then they just like giggled together and I was like, yes, that is so Italian, like to lash out, say some mean shit and then be like, so what's up, what are we doing for dinner, do you love me,
you mean if your name ends in about, no, that was a conversation I had to talk to Meek about when we got married. Oh, and he's God. Like, this is not going to work in my house. And I was like, okay, so it's going to take me a while to learn unlearn this because this is something that I've done for a very long time. Low
Interesting.
Blows. Yeah.
Because Kyle and I also had to have that conversation.
Because Kyle was like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. He was like, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
And so we've come to like a compromise. Like, I definitely have gotten so much better. Like, I really hone it in. I'm like, nope, you're not allowed to go there. No slamming doors, no F words. Like, we have some like guidelines. That I have to stick within.
It's very hard.
And like it's gotten easier as I'm sure you would agree over the years.
Yeah, for sure.
But reeling that in the beginning, it's like, wait, this is all I really know.
I don't know. Like, I wonder if you realize, like, do you do that? Like, I realized I did it in all of my fights, like with friends and with family. And like, I had to reel it in everywhere.
You know, I didn't have many fights with friends. And I feel like if it was coming about, shocker, I would sort of just like, I just was like, how do I avoid this confrontation? I guess I just won't talk to them. And so that's sort of how that would end.
Confrontation avoidant.
I still don't talk to some of those people because I just never. Because
it's easier to not. Yeah. I don't.
So that's problematic in itself. So.
Yeah, but that's okay. We're working. Yeah. We're still working on things. That's the thing I'm most proud of in therapy was getting past the low blows. I remember my therapist said to me,
so easy.
She said, "You're a really good fighter." And I was like, "Thank you." And she's like, "That's not what I mean." She's like, "That's not what I mean." She means like,
I got a prize today.
Yeah. She's like, "No, you know how to go for the job." Like, yeah. And I was like, "Oh, shit."
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah. Anywho. So the other thing I did want to, I picked up on this episode. Kyle or Paige and Amanda are having this moment sort of out by the pool. And this is towards the end of the episode. And Paige isn't, or Amanda sort of like, they're talking about money a little bit. And then Amanda starts saying a little bit of like, you know, what she gave up for Loverboy as well. Like she did leave her job. Some of those ideas are her. The graphics are hers. Like, and Amanda and Paige is like, says something. And it's not, wasn't even in a confessional. It was to Amanda. Yeah. Like, oh, I feel like he doesn't really give you that credit. Like, and I agree with Paige. I don't know that I, you know, knew that. I didn't know Limoncello was her idea, which like apparently is their best seller.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I think we talked about this a little the week before too.
We did. And I would assume that there's some resentment that Amanda's holding on to because of that, right?
I think this season, if we were to talk about the things we see from Amanda, the word of Amanda's season is resentment.
Yeah.
Like, which is- I feel like we're seeing a lot of that from her. Like, I just...
like loving her this season, too.
Me too.
Like, I've never disliked her more than... like, I know that you were never really a fan.
Because of... do you know why I wasn't a fan? Oh God, this is all my medication. It's very, I'm feeling it.
Tell me.
I wasn't a fan because I felt like she wasn't sticking up for herself before. Like I didn't like how she was
walking that.
Yeah. And I kind of like that she seems to be sticking up for herself more than before.
I like that that is your reason because I don't know if I ever, I just thought you thought she was boring.
But that's why I think so is because like she just sits back and like lets things happen to her and like Kyle can be this big douche canoe and not really care. I think that's the first time I ever said that word out loud.
douche canoe. Yeah. As we said every week since the show has aired, great season so far.
Yeah.
Super into it. I think we could probably get right into the valley now. And it's like, we haven't talked, we're not, we won't do like episode by episode at this moment in time. There's just kind of a lot going on, especially because I feel like Summer House and Vanderpump Rules are like two of our like big shows.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, but I will say, I mean, everyone knows who's online or is watching it. Like the Valley's definitely giving. It's fucking messy as hell. It's like,
because it has really two of the messiest. And then how they found all of their messy friends to go along with it. It's just...
except, so Nia and Danny seem like too normal and like kind of happy, but it's still only episode 3. He's like a supportive husband and dad and like, I'm like, are they cut out for TV? I'm not sure. We'll find out. Michelle and Jesse though, I think, okay, I know I've talked about it on this show before, but in the Diamonds and Rosé book that was like released years ago, they talk, he talks about, David Quinn talks about how in some cases these housewives get on the show as an out of their marriage. This feels so much like that, so much like that, where I'm like, he, like, this guy sucks pretty fucking bad.
Jesse, yeah, is that who we're talking about?
And when the life coach or whatever says, like, how, when was the last time you were sexually attracted to him? And she's like, don't ask me that. And he goes, 3 years and 9 months. And I was like, damn, that's pretty gnarly. That's not good.
He
He sucks. He really sucks.
I mean, thank God we know in all of the things that they're getting a divorce. Like, thank God we know about it. Because it's like, what a tool bag. Again, good TV though.
Yeah, but good TV.
A tool bag.
Yeah, and Jax is just such a fucking
How mistake. About him commenting, like the videos that we see of him commenting word for word about what's happening on Vanderpump Rules. Like, this man thinks that when you hear him talk on his podcast about how he created, sorry, I have to eat a banana. I was okay, getting
I was
a
like,
little,
what is happening on the other
I needed, here? I needed to, my blood Fair. Sugar is like dipping. Okay.
If anyone's wondering what that pause was there for a moment, it was me trying to figure out what was happening on the other side of the screen. So in case we don't edit that out, yeah, it's her blood sugar dropping.
I had to ask my husband in the background to get me food because this is tough.
I believe it.
Oh, what the fuck was I saying?
Oh, God. Okay, let me.
Bring us back.
Jack. Yes, Jack's doing these like, talking on his own podcast, or I thought maybe you were going to say he did like a live, I guess, from like,
yes,
they do like watch shows at Jax's or whatever. And he said that everything is so scripted, everything's so fake, and it has been real since the early seasons when he was on it. He knows because he's been on the show for so long. I am just like, shut the fuck up. Like just
you,
let us live.
It's also, Jax, you're doing the same thing right now in your new little show, The Valley.
I know. That's what's also so bizarre. It's like, you got your show. So, like, what are you still salty about?
And he's calling it my show.
I know. That he doesn't have any credits for, but Lisa Vanderpump does. I would love to know how he feels about that. When I first saw her name come up as executive producer, I was like, wonder how Jax feels about that.
But this is what I mean. We hate him, but he's good reality TV. Like, he's made for this. Him... And the Spencer Pratts of the world.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to carry us into Vanderpump Rules. We're going to... We'll get into The Valley later in the season a little bit more. Maybe we'll do a bigger recap of the whole season or something, or like halfway through the season.
Yeah.
VPR, before we really get into it, I want to talk about some of the other headline stuff before we get into the episode. Okay, so first we have Ariana's brother doing
Weird.
This whole so not cool, because I know that you and I have brothers, and I'm sure a lot of people have brothers, and it's like, that is like not chill. Like, you
But
can't,
what you're saying is not chill is that
he went to the press and had a conversation. He did a full interview about his sister.
That
Can
would,
you imagine?
That would be...
I would just, you guys have been through a lot of shit together. That 100%. needs to
And not only that, close. Like, the thing that we've seen her with her brother is her protecting her brother to the death. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to the press.
Yeah. And it's like, she let, you know, him live there, and Tom Sandoval's like, well, actually, it was my idea. Okay, well, I've had a very similar situation, and it's like, yes, you allowed it, but it's actually harder on the sister for the person to be in the space, because that is entirely like my responsibility. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
100%.
Yes, you're down for him to be, you're being gracious, and like, I appreciate that for letting.
But you feel like it's almost your fault.
Yes, and so that's a different kind of burden, and it's like, if my brother, after everything we've been through together, even if we weren't on talking terms, and he went to the press, that would really be like, yo, I've done so much for you, vice versa, like that. We're,
that's cut off.
I don't know if we're cut off for life at that moment, but hard, heavy break for sure.
And who do we see coming back through again? Coming down the line, Sheena Shea.
I know. What was that?
So he gets engaged and Sheena is there behind the scenes holding
the
party.
But not behind the scenes, because she's posting it on Instagram, and it's like, okay, fine. What if you're there and you guys have your own friendship or whatever, which I still think is a little bizarre, but
So whatever. Weird.
Yeah. And then you're posting about it too. And then this is all happening the same week where he's talking to the press. Like, that is such a fuck you to Ariana.
But what
to
is me, going with that?
To me, what that tells me is Ariana and Sheena are not friends.
They're done. They have to be done.
They're done. They are not friends anymore. I think it's better for both of them. Sheena picked her lane. She needs to follow that check. And I get it. You got a family to support, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah. And then, like, the thing, getting more into, like, Ariana's family stuff, Lala on this podcast today. I think it was today.
It was yesterday.
Talking about her not being as close with her dad. And it's like, why did you know, even have... I have a lot to say about this, but go ahead.
I think... Well, you should speak on it. I don't really have a place to speak on it, but...
To me, what I felt when I saw the headlines and then I heard it, it felt like it diminishes... Let's say, like, my dad has passed. And it's like, he passed when I was really little. And I don't... think that diminishes the loss, but the way she said it made it actually feel like, oh, my loss isn't as important as yours. And I just, it's a different kind of trauma and, like, processing than yours is. And it's not fair to compare. Like, okay, well, then I get to say to you, at least you knew your dad. Like,
and it's
that's
right.
A void that I will never be able to fill. And you at least got the experience. So how about now? Maybe mine's worse.
Right.
You know, it's
and
like, you
how
don't do
dare
that.
You compare? This is your friend.
I know.
Right? Even if you're on bad terms with this person, in the podcast, the comment was so flippant, which is to me even more disrespectful. Yeah. You didn't even have to say it. And if you ever want to be friends with this person again, to me, this is like, there should have never been a comment about it. Like, you don't talk about this at all.
Why does she even keep talking about Ariana though?
Keep it relevant, to make money. It's honestly disgusting and it's sick and it's like,
it's also coming, like, it looks pretty one-sided because I hope, and I think I said this in a text to you the other day, Katie and Ariana have not spoke out about it. They are not commenting on stuff. They are not doing podcasts about it. I hope that it stays that way.
For sure.
I don't know if they'll be able to bite their tongue forever.
This would be a hard one.
I won't blame them for, you know, unleashing at some point. But from our view of what's happening, it's so one-sided that it's really making Lala look even worse than she's
already. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's gross.
I just think that if she is going, like, there's no way they're going to be able to be friends from this. And I was listening to part of her podcast where she said, like, oh, I don't check the comments. I'm not listening to people.
She should.
That's what I thought. Because she thinks she's, like, doing this big, bad thing. And I never didn't like Lala. Like, I thought she had a lot to say and maybe wasn't always coming from the right place. And maybe it came from a place of insecurity, but I do not know why she is. I don't understand why she's coming for Ariana. I don't get it.
I really think it's about the paychecks. I really think it's like about, I think that she has like sat down and thought about, do Ariana and I really have a friendship worth saving versus the money I can make from not saving it? And they truly kind of didn't. It's not like they were super tight before. Like, there was a moment in the earlier seasons when Ariana, like, was the only one kind of standing up for Lala against, like, Katie and Stassi and all of that.
She's the whole reason she got in the group.
I know. And, like, was able to stay on the show.
Yeah.
And same with James. Like, Ariana, like, Lala, I know, was saying she has never had a storyline. It's like, she... maybe not had a storyline, but guess what? She helped you stay on the fucking show. So you should be so grateful.
But why I think is she saying even these things?
I mean, I guess like for clicks, like, look, we're here talking about it. I'm outraged by the comments that she's been making. And it's like, I mean, I guess it's good for her wallet at the end of the day. I really do think she sat down and was like, this friendship does not mean enough to me as much as the paycheck is going to matter to me. And I do think, and I was talking to someone, I just fell forward the other day about this. There's something that's telling me, okay, so I think if Vanderpump Rules comes back for another season, it will be set up in a way that we know it's the last. Like, they'll tie up loose ends. They'll kind of do, like, a la, like, Hill, you know, like, the Hill sort of.
Yeah.
We went into that final season knowing that this is the end or whatever. At the end of the series, they're going to kind of do those screens that they do for Vanderpump Rules. This is where they are. This is where they are. Blah, blah, blah. I kind of, and I am so speculating here, I am pulling shit out of my ass, but I think that Sheena and Lala had a conversation with Valley producers before they signed over to buy those homes in the Valley. I just do.
To say what? Like, we're in?
Basically some confirmation.
I feel like that's happened too, just because,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's almost confirmed in everything we listen to. It's almost confirmed that they know. And the fact that they're even being shown in clips. But also
the timing of the buying the houses are so close together. And it's like, Sheena has been living out in Marina Del Rey, hella far from the Valley, for so long. So,
but this is my question. What is Sheena and Lala going to do different? Like, what are they going to bring to the Valley? They're still boring as hell.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. Like, to me, Lala is boring.
Is this why Lala's having another kid so she can show this kid on TV? Like,
can you imagine?
Oh my God, no, but for real.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
I mean, I think
like,
Brock and Sheena obviously have a lot of issues. I'm sure that'll be highlighted on the Valley.
This is kind of sick. This is kind of sick that this is the way they're thinking about this. And I think it's almost like the fact that Ariana and Katie, I don't know.
I think Katie was smart with her money. I don't know exactly what that means. There's no proof of that. She just doesn't strike me as someone, like, if you look at Lala and Sheena, they spend so much on upkeep, appearance and stuff. And it's like, I'm sure Katie does some stuff as well, but you don't see her like completely injected. And that costs money, like, for sure. And then I just, her whole vibe is a little bit less like upkeep, like those outfits. I don't know. Just anyway.
She also has the
restaurant that's going to do well. Like, it just is going
to
do well. It's supposed to be opening very soon.
What did you think of that scene between Katie and Tom Schwartz, to completely change the subject?
I loved it.
Absolutely loved it. He's trying to ask her about Max and she's like giggling and they're like having this awkward conversation about who had sex with. Like, it was the most awkward thing, and I couldn't stop laughing.
Okay, let's get it right into the episode now. We were just doing headline stuff before, but that's totally fine.
My bad.
It's okay. Drugs. yeah, that scene, though, was amazing. I mean, it was the only thing interesting. Well, actually, so that we have this water tasting, which is, like, fucking weird. But whatever. And I like that everyone brought alcohol. So that's good. They did that. So we have
water tasting. Imagine.
I know. But that, so yeah, just to touch on that scene, I thought it was great. Seeing their dynamic is just funny. Now, people online kept saying that they like saw chemistry between them, like I saw a bunch of comments and like a few other podcasts between Tom and Katie. And I was like, I didn't get that.
No.
Did you?
No, it seemed like two friends. No, it gave me like brother and sister energy.
Yes. Yeah.
No way. Not at all.
That's what I was like. And it was even a podcast I was listening to. They were talking about it. And I was like, you think that she had sexual tension with that man in his little elf? Doesn't that sweater look like it's from
that's
Elf,
what I, the movie? I wish I did a freaking, TikTok on it, because that's all I kept thinking was he looked like he was Buddy the Elf, and she's like, what are you wearing?
And she goes, well, The way she said it.
The whole scene. But it made me happy that they were able to maintain this.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay, let's go back to the beginning. So in the beginning of the episode is when Ariana sits down with Anne. Also, Anne gets a confessional.
Love that.
Love that for her. And this whole thing turned into a fucking disaster. I don't know if you saw the after show, but Tom Sandoval's like having his lawyers send over papers to her. Dude. And I'm like, to Anne.
Why? Leave her alone.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is your problem. Like, he's got so many problems, but this is just one more to tack on. I'm really into my eyebrows right now.
You look great.
Thanks. Fuck. My eyebrows just made me lose my track of thought.
And someone's confessional.
Someone's killing themselves. Yeah, so. Oh, my God. So, yeah, she's in this confessional. I don't even really know what she was saying, to be honest. But Tom ends up eavesdropping on the conversation that he has with Ariana. Which, like, yeah, you got to get out of that house. Or, like, why did they have this conversation? I don't know if this is Tom's fault, really. Like, you guys couldn't have met at a coffee shop?
Anywhere else. Like, I wonder if production's making them have, okay. Like, then you're like, is production making you do this here? Because this feels weird.
Okay, so now that you just said that, this was actually, Tom Schwartz brought this up in the after show and said, was it filmed? And as if the episode didn't just air. And Sandoval's like, yeah. And Schwartz is like, oh, that's why I was at the house. So, question answered.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go. We covered that real. We opened and closed this case real, really quick. So I guess she's maybe working for Tom or for Ariana and Katie now.
But oh, like for something about her.
About her, yeah. So oh, that's interesting. I'm curious to see, like, in what capacity she's going to be working. So, but either way, she's got a job,
and she has a podcast. I know, we talked so about that last week.
What Sandoval is sending the lawyer, his lawyers, or whatever, to her for.
That's dumb because whatever.
She signed
an NDA.
Well, he's like, she signed an NDA and then named her podcast. I signed an NDA. And he was you could feel how pissed off he was. And I was eating it up. I was like, yeah, you fucking savage.
Ew. Yeah, go Anne. This is okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm trying to follow the timeline.
No, that's fine.
Just because so then the water tasting and everyone's talking. Like, I am over how production is trying to get us to think that Ariana has these rage issues and is like acting out after being in a 10-year relationship with someone who she broke up with 3 months before this and is just supposed to be completely fine now. None of these scenes, again, everyone's saying like, you should have a civilized conversation with them. You should do this. You should. Why? How would you all, exactly? Like, he almost killed her dog. He was in her fucking room. They're still living in the same house. Granted, I don't think it's anyone's choice that they're living in the same house, but they are. But why does she?
Is a little. I'm Team Ariana, but it's like, I would never leave food out with my dog, even if the door was shut.
No. I mean, I have a whole thing about food in my room, but
and we like, don't have Raleigh to. Raleigh isn't even like that. I know that her kind of dog. I don't want to generalize.
Dog shame.
Like pit bulls. Yeah. But they eat quick and they'll eat like kind of get into whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas like Raleigh doesn't really inhale and he doesn't get into just whatever. But I still would not.
Again,
moments, though, for sure.
Let's not dog shame because if there's anything we love more, fuck Sandoval, love dogs.
Yeah.
This whole thing where he like storms out and was like, this is the rage I had to deal with. I'm like, that's rage. The fact that things weren't wailed at your head when something happened to my dog that I had to spend $6,000 on. Yeah. Like, I don't understand why they're pushing this narrative that she should just be fine by now.
I know. I'm like, did they feel so guilty about how much hate Sandoval got, and like, did they really see him go through some shit that they feel it's their responsibility to like switch the narrative? And then I'm also like, okay, fine. If you want to like paint him in a better picture, why do we have to like give Ariana a rage arc as well?
And then like do the background, like the little montage of her rage. Is this for real? And it's like
when they did that,
rage I was like, thing. This is pathetic. Let's see a montage of my rage. Yeah. Like that's the rage. It's like her screaming, like barely.
But people online too, like for the most part, it seems like we're kind of on par with what everyone else is feeling. Like, what the fuck, Bravo? Like, do better. Yeah. This is a women's network.
Yeah.
And like the women make this show and this network successful, and most of these shows successful. And here you are playing into this, like, it feels like a women's network run by a bunch of like old white men. It reminds me of the scene in Barbie when they go up to at the Barbie and they go upstairs and it's like a room of like a bunch of white men. Yeah. I'm like, is that who's running VPR right now?
But I think this is what they think the people want to see, because they need to create the drama. The thing that I still, because I think they need drama.
Shit on Ariana.
But do you know how in the beginning of the season they said there was this like, and I think I talked about this before, but there was that thing where there were like a few quotes where it was like, people are going to watch the season and they might not be liking as Ariana as much as they thought. Well, I feel the exact opposite. Like I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change my mind. Team Ariana. If anything, like get like the way that Sheena and Lala have acted, Sheena's supposed to be her best friend. Okay. And Lala, who went so hard for her at the reunion, I can't get over them two. And I'm glad you're best friends together and butt buddies together. I can't wait to watch until you do it to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real loyalty. Oh my God, so and much. I think that's the thing that bothers me the most, is that they preach loyalty so much. And I've talked about this. I know. I say the same thing, I feel like, almost every week. But Sheena says, I'm a loyal friend, but. And Lala says, like, I'm a loyal person, but. Like, if you could sit there and if, let's say Lala's doing what you said. And she's being tactile about this, saying like, Ariana's not really one of my good friends, so let me make the most money out of that. That's the exact opposite of loyalty. And even as a loyal person, how could you do that to someone? Even if they're not your friend, you looked at them as someone you loved at one point. It's kind of sickening.
The other thing I think that maybe we're forgetting, and I had shouted out actually Bravo and Blaze in a comment about this, that they had pointed out some of just the other weird shit that was going on while the affair was happening, right? Like, so it's not just that Tom cheated on her. I think everyone thinks that, like, we're all, like, the people who are not on Team Ariana think that we're so up in arms about the cheating, the actual cheating. And it's like, it's not that. It's the dressing up as your mistress for Halloween. It's the, you know, going to the pageant shows with Ariana. Like, it's all this other, like, nuance stuff
weird
that makes it like really like I can't imagine what kind of trauma that probably caused Ariana
for her,
like the trust issues have to be pretty fucking insane. And then like on top of that, it's like this guy that you were with, for your partner that you built a life with, whether or not you guys were in a good place when it ended, totally did blindside you and had this like entirely like this other life happening, and he's actually mourning that relationship and not the one that you guys were that. In.
That's
and
sick.
So it's like, and who is to say that Ariana, you know, I think that she's, if you're not like, I feel like, you know, the opposite, they, I don't know what, there's some saying about like love and hate, but it's like, I feel like she's in a state of hate right now. At least in like what we're seeing right now, this is only a couple months after. Who's to say where she is right now? Yeah. She hasn't come to that indifference yet. Like this was someone that she loved. She can't just like flip that off into indifference and it'd be chill.
In a month.
In like
3 months. No way. Like that's what I think. And then for everyone to still like, for her friends to say like, you should have a what was the word they kept saying? You should have a conversation with him, but it should be a productive conversation. A productive, you need to have a productive. Yeah. Why? Why does she need to? Because you're saying, what would it do for you? You all think she needs to be friends with him because you want the group to get along. That's sick.
Not to mention the way now it works is for you. Reading her in front of people. It's like, he's not even showing any kind of remorse. Like, that's what I when I was watching it, I was trying to think, like, I was like, damn, even if I was in a bad place with the person that, like, maybe we weren't thriving, but again, they were in couples therapy and they started having sex again. And then found out that that person that I had this home with and this life with and this friend and these brands with was having an affair with, you know, one of my friends on the side. But also, wait, that's so weird that he dressed up like her for Halloween. Oh, that's so weird. I went to the, like, and then you start like connecting the dots.
Because it's all happening in front of you and you feel like a fool.
Like, I would have, and then like when she finally lashes out a bit on the beach, I was like, thank God. Girl.
Right. Because thank God.
I don't know how you're here.
And everybody makes it like she is crazy for doing that. I'm like, thank God she finally is saying, like, stop putting me in this situation. Stop making me be around him.
Like, how do you think I'm going? Do you think I'm going to have the best time today at the beach? Like, no, I'm not. Yeah. I don't even know how she got her ass to that beach. I know that there was a paycheck on the other side of that, but I don't know that I personally could have done that. Like, I think Katie's
friendship is what I'm living for this season. It's really good to see because it actually makes you realize that there are real friendships on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true.
Because otherwise, what the hell else is like, whatever. Yeah.
Watching Katie and Ariana is my favorite part of the show.
Yeah. Sure. And like, how they're like, I don't want to go today. And she's like, yeah, me neither.
Yeah, should we fake our own deaths? But all right, well, since I'm a good friend, a real friend, I'm going to let you off easy here. We could call this.
This was hard. This was harder than day after thyroid surgery.
I know. Hopefully next week you feel a little better.
I'll feel so much better. I won't be taking so many meds by then.
Cool.
But don't worry, y'all. We'll be back next week with so much more.
Yes.
Less so much drugs, more.
More gossip.
Yeah. I think I blacked out for like minutes 35 to 42. So enjoy, friends. We'll be back next week with an all new episode. If you don't already follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TikTok, and Instagram.
Oh, boy. Okay. I love you.
Love you. Bye.